March 29th, on page 106. Facing our mortality. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary got up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came there, came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And this is from John 11, 17 to 37. Let's turn to the devotion. Facing the death of his friend Lazarus, Jesus told Martha, "Your brother will rise again." While Martha replied, "I know," her response implied that he is rising again. No, his rising again was neither here nor now. Belief in resurrection neither eased the sorrow nor took away the pain. Even Jesus, before raising Lazarus from death, wept himself. As a young pastor, I found out that just hearing Jesus' words, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die," was not enough. I remember one wife beside herself with grief as we buried her husband. "I know my husband is now at home with the Lord," yet she kept crying, "I want to go with him. I want to go with him." Until someone comes to know Jesus in a personal way as Lord and Savior, death, whether one's own or another's, will evoke fear. Only a personal experience of Jesus takes away the fear of death. I can distinctly recall that when I finally received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that I was no longer afraid to die. I also discovered that the only way to be able to talk to someone else about their death, they had to have a saving knowledge of Christ. While the reality of resurrection does not take away the pain of separation, the beauty of it is that the pain of parting cannot take away the reality of resurrection for those who have turned their lives over to Christ. So that was the devotion. And if you had the chance to listen to Jackie's devotion yesterday, this is the continuation of the story. And yesterday he focused more on the waiting part. And today I actually want to focus more on the pain of separation caused by death this morning. And I totally agree with the author of this devotion that facing death and separation is painful. facing the death of a loved one is indeed suffering. And the fact that knowing that Jesus is the resurrection and life does not necessarily ease the pain. And in John 11, we can see how Jesus reacted to the death of his friend and to the sorrows of the people around, surrounding him. He was disturbed in spirit. He was deeply moved. And moreover, he actually wept himself. He cried. He was expressing his true emotions at that time. And I believe God created us with tears and emotions for a reason. I'm sure God doesn't want us to suppress our feelings and not express how we really feel just because we know that, oh, God is life. But he does want us to express ourselves. And learning from Mary and Martha, which this passage, where it stopped, actually, it didn't go on to the part where we know that Lazarus will be raised to life. But this passage really focused on the two sisters and their reaction. And I think just learning from them, I actually see two very good examples of how they face the pain of death and separation. So the first one, Martha. For me, I saw how she actually had faith despite going through the pain. What she said to Jesus, to me, I think it really showed faith. It says, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. And when Jesus said, oh, your brother will rise again, she again say, oh, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And then Jesus go on and talked about who he is. And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. And I think initially she was true to her feelings. She vented. She was really, you know, just kind of nagging, like, God, like, Jesus, why are you, like, your timing is so off, why, right? She was showing her true feelings. That was how she felt at that time. She didn't understand why Jesus was late. And this reminds me of P. Eugene's sermon, Where Were You, Lord?, when he mentioned that it's not about getting an answer from God, but knowing that Jesus is the solution. And I think in the midst of pain at that time, she still knew who Jesus was. And I'm sure in order for her to say that, oh, yes, Lord, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, at that time, I think she must have had a somewhat close and intimate relationship with Jesus for her to be able to say that. And I think for sometimes it is, like for us, it does take life and death situation to see where our faith is at. So let's ask ourselves, can we still be sure of who Jesus is in the midst of pain? Can we really say what Martha said in that passage? So number two, I learned from Mary. What I learned from her was she quickly went to Jesus. In the passage, it was mentioned twice that Mary got up quickly and went to Jesus and knelt at his feet. And other people thought she was going to the tomb to weep some more. Indeed, she was crying some more. She was still weeping. But in her pain, she went straight to Jesus first. And I think a lot of times, when we face the pain of separation, it's really easy for us to indulge in our own emotions, to quickly go to other things before bringing our sorrows to Jesus and before seeking comfort in him first. It could be just nonstop dwelling in our negative emotions, indulging in the feeling of being comforted by people after people, and just staying in that victimized position. For some people, it could be going to alcohol or drugs or substances, other things. But for Mary went to Jesus first. So again, she was true to her feelings, like Martha. She was venting. She was asking the same question, right? Why was his timing so off? But I learned that in our pain, and I think God is waiting for us to go to him. Yeah, he's giving us an opportunity to come straight to him, to seek comfort in him. So let's ask ourselves, can we do that? And I think, I just think that it is, it really, sometimes it does take these life and death situations to realize that we are human, we are really fragile, we need God, we need to come to Him. So lastly, I do want to share about my own experience with facing death and separation. So yesterday, March 28th, 2014, marked the 14th year of my cousin's death. His name was Solomon. And he was only 10 years old back then. And he died without a reason. You probably, if you were around back in 2000, you probably heard about the news. He only tripped and fell over like a very small step. And that's it. He was unconscious, and then he just died, just like that. And then it was really interesting because the doctors, all the journalists were writing about it. They were talking about, he was obese. He wasn't that fat, actually. They talked about how, he had a heart attack, but people didn't know back then. But it wasn't true, actually. After autopsy, they couldn't find any reason. And so on his death certificate, it was just written natural death. It was actually a very, for us, like we're Christians, we know God. We believe that God really just took him away, just like that. And just like Martha and Mary, I think just thinking back on the incident, the pain was so real. I was only a middle schooler back then. I wasn't too young to know what was going on. I was old enough to know that this is real. This is not good. I still remember going to the emergency room at Queen Mary. I remember the layout of the where the chairs were. I remember like just praying. My parents were in the States back then, so I went there with my sister. And then my aunt and uncle were there. They were just crying out loud. And yeah, and as a middle schooler, like I've never seen grown adults acting that way. So it was actually very, very vivid, yeah. But today I can say that I praise God. And there's actually a story behind Solomon's death. It's a very interesting story. So the morning before he died, he had Bible class. He went to a Christian school over at, called the Kaoyan School. It's over at near Saingpun. And that morning, he had to do a kind of like a class activity. The teacher asked him to write, if you only had 20 minutes to live, what would you do? Ironically, right? And most kids would write, I would eat as much as I could. I would play video games until I die, right? But he actually wrote, I would pray to God. And then, so after he died, we were packing his stuff and going through some of his homework. So, you know, in fifth grade, he was in fifth grade, 10 years old, right? He had to do a health class. And then they actually learn about, growing up, puberty. He had to answer the question in his workbook. Who would you go to if you feel emotionally unstable or depressed, right? And in Hong Kong, if you go to school, you have to know the model answer. The model answer is, I'll go to my parents, teachers, trusted friend, or counselors, right? But in his workbook, he actually wrote, God, I can talk to God, right? And then for a lot of his answers. And it's funny because like my aunt, actually he was doing the workbook, he was doing that the moment before he died, because they were actually studying for exam. And then my aunt was just looking through his book like, stop playing, this is serious. You have to know the answer, right? She was trying to drill him the model answers. And then she kind of gave up in the end, like, okay, let's go get dinner. And that's when the incident happened, right? So, yeah. Just this incident, it's not coincidence that all these, like, we see all these acts of faith from a young child. And it's because of his death. And looking back, that we saw how a young child of 10, young children can have such great faith. And yes, the pain was real, but we still don't know why he had to go so early. But you know, his story really encouraged a lot of people. When my aunt was sharing the story, they had the funeral back at my the other church on Kane Road. It was on Children's Day, and there was like lines and lines of people going in because my aunt was a teacher, so there's students from her school going, and from my cousin's school, and from my other cousin's school. So there's like a lot of kids going to this funeral on Children's Day. And actually, a lot of people got saved just hearing about his story. And our family, all our relatives, we were really encouraged. So, yeah, in the end, we saw how God is really glorified. And we praise God that despite the pain, like Martha, I can say, I know Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and he is sovereign. Yep. So let's close our eyes. Thank you. Let's really thank God for being our comfort. For just being our solution. He's not really asking us to find out the answers. But let's ask ourselves, can we still be like Martha? In the midst of pain, can we still have the faith and say that, oh, I know who you are, God. And can we be like Mary? Who do we go to first when we are really going through the pain? I know that people here or people listening, some of you might be going through, dealing with the pain of death, separation right now. It's okay to be true to your feelings. And God wants us to express our feelings too. But he wants us to go to him for comfort. Because really only God can give us the ultimate comfort and really give us the truth in our lives. Thank you, Lord.
Make a sweet sound, but remain proud. In view of God's mercy, I offer my all. And take my life, let it be everything, all of me. Here I am, use me for your glory. In everything I say and do, let my life honor you. Here I am, living for your glory. The road I'm on that leads nowhere without you. The life I live, it finds meaning in surrender. In view of God's mercy, I offer my all. Take my life, let it be everything, all of me. Here I am, use me for your glory. In everything I say and do, let my life honor you. Here I am, living for your glory. Take my life, let it be everything, all of me. Here I am, use me for your glory. In everything I say and do, let my life honor you. Here I am, living for your glory. Seeking first the kingdom, seeking first the kingdom of my Lord, seeking first the kingdom, seeking first the kingdom of my Lord. Take my life, let it be everything, all of me. Here I am, use me for your glory. In everything I say and do, let my life honor you. Here I am, use me for your glory. Take my life, let it be everything, all of me. Here I am, use me for your glory. In everything I say and do, let my life honor you. Here I am, living for your glory.
So Lord, I thank you once again for today. Thank you for this passage. I know for the past few weeks, as we were talking about suffering, Lord, I know there's a reason why this subject has been coming up, and I'm sure you're preparing us for something, Lord. God, I thank you for being the one that we can go to in our pain. And I pray that, Lord, you'll really strengthen us. Strengthen our faith in knowing that you are God. You are our comfort. Lord. And also want to pray for the author of this devotion, Pastor Sisson, and in the United Methodist Church. I pray that I pray for the ministries in their church, Lord, that they'll be that your hand will really be in their work, and just for the people in the church, Lord, as well, Lord. I pray that the people will also be of great faith. And so let's continue to pray for our church. Let's pray for our community, and specifically for those who are suffering from cancer, those who are going through chemo and surgery. So let's pray for God's miraculous healing upon them. Let's also pray for their families, too. Let's move on. And again, for those with illnesses, more importantly, these are the people that are ill and need to have Jesus in their lives. Let's pray that in God's time, that He will really reveal Himself to these people here. Go on. Let's pray for other infirmities. Those who are just going through a really physically painful time. Let's pray that God will really be with them and relieve their pain, be their comfort. Let's move on. And let's continue to pray for those who are looking for jobs at this time. Let's pray that God will give them the right opportunities at the right time. As these people are seeking and making decisions, I pray that they'll really hear God in this time as they make decisions and as they look. Pray that they'll have faith and not give up. Let's go on. And let's pray for, number one, our mission focus. Let's pray for the Febe ministry in Indonesia and for SP Singapore. Let's pray for our education ministries, for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray that the young ones in this church will really come to know God. In their own ways, pray that God will reveal himself to them, because we know that Jesus welcomes children. And let's pray for the SP families and marriages. Pray for love, healing, unity, restoration, protection. And let's pray for the weekend activities. There's Sunday service, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SV Youth. Pray for all the outreaches. There's the Freedom Outreach this morning, and the Homie Ministry. They're serving soup to the poor on Sunday in Igape. Let's pray that God will really use the ministries, and that people will really be touched by the service of the people in these ministries, Lord. And pray for all the discipleship classes and all the meetings. And also the leadership of our church as well, Lord. Let's pray that, continue to pray for the pastors in our church, that he'll really use our pastors and leaders to preach his word, to speak the truth through them all. And let's pray for the house churches that are meeting today, Bel Air, Robinson Family, and Mac Daddy. Let's pray for a good time of fellowship for them all. And and God for it to really show up and be in their midst. So, Lord, I thank you once again for this morning, this time of prayer, Lord. I thank you for being the comfort in our lives, for just showing us that even though we are going through, a lot of times when we're going through a lot of pain and suffering, that you are there with us. You want to be together with us and go through this with us, Lord, and that we have the choice to go to you and we don't need to go to anything else, Lord. So thank you once again for this time. And I just want to bless everyone here. In your precious name I pray. Amen.